I think a brand is the personality that you convey, the perceptions that people have about who you are and what you're about, and then finally kind of that promise about what you're going to deliver, what you're saying you're going to give your customers.
Hi, y'all. This is Listen, the Catalyst Marketing Podcast, where we talk about how strategy, creativity, and hard numbers come together to make great marketing campaigns. I'm Alex Johnson, a member of the team here at Catalyst and the host of this show. So in today's episode, we'll be talking about branding. And branding is kind of a catch-all term. It's one of those things that you can't define it, but you know it when you see it. It's broad and granular at the same time, and it makes it difficult to pinpoint exactly what it is. But thankfully, we have people on our team who can do that for us. Today, we've got our creative team on the podcast, Lauren Goodman and Kendra Spa. They both run all the creative things that come out of Catalyst, whether it's print, digital design, web design things, our logos, our copy that goes on all our marketing materials, anything creative that comes through Catalyst, they're in charge of. So welcome, y'all.
Hi.
So, like I said, we are lucky to have them today to help us explain exactly what branding is and get down to the root of what it does for all our clients. So if y'all could, I know it's a big question, but explain what exactly is a brand? What does it encompass?
I think the biggest thing to remember, and definitely it was a learning curve, being a part of Catalyst and kind of learning how to brand, but the biggest thing to remember is it's not a tangible thing. It's nothing that you would assume it is, like logos or colors or taglines, something that you can hold or see. I think a brand is the personality that you convey, the perceptions that people have about who you are and what you're about, and then finally kind of that promise about what you're going to deliver, what you're saying you're going to kind of give your customers.
Yeah, I would totally agree. I think the interesting thing about the brand guides that we make for our clients is it has all these different elements that are ways for them to visually tell their story, tell their vibe to the customer through their marketing materials. So it's this beautiful little package that's all together that kind of tells them, you know, this is how you're going to promote your property with these colors, with this kind of typography. It all works together to make the vibe of the property.
So yeah, you mentioned the brand guide. So can you explain, although the brand is kind of an abstract, intangible thing, what kind of deliverables typically do clients see when we create a brand?
Well, it all begins with that brand guide, which for us is a two-page sort of document that we use as the cornerstone for everything we do. Kendra and I are total sticklers about following our brands, which I think really pays off in the long run. Our brand guide has everything from your logos to the stock imagery that we're going to use across all the pieces, color palette, both primary and secondary colors, textures and patterns and fonts, which, like she said, really just kind of solidifies the feeling we're trying to get across for each property. And as we begin to create all those marketing materials, or really any piece moving forward, I would say that we always reference that. And so that the most important thing is if you're in the market and you pick up a piece, you immediately know who it belongs to. You don't even have to read it, really. You know by the look, by the kind of, like she said, vibe we're giving off, who that piece is and who that brand is.
So in creating those brands, can you talk about what goes into that? What research, what kind of deep dives y'all go into maybe the market or the audience? What is involved in creating that? Because I think a misconception is that designers just have a cute idea and they make a cute logo and that's all there is to it. And I know just from seeing y'all work, there's a lot behind it that clients don't see. So if you could elaborate on what y'all do to create those brands.
Yeah, for sure. I think it all begins with what we call the discovery phase. Depending on the client, that can either entail a phone call where we really dive deep into their wants and their needs and what they're all about, all the way up to a property visit or a site visit where we get to go there and experience who they are firsthand. It also involves really taking a look at the competitors, because I think a big thing we try to do is set ourselves apart from the other people in the market. Like, we don't want to follow the trends. We don't want to look similar. We kind of want to evaluate what our competitors are doing right and wrong, and take that into account. Also, we do a psychographic analysis, which demographics really focus on, I think, a lot of the, like, surface level stuff, age, gender, race, occupation, things like that, a lot of facts and figures. But what's interesting about psychographics is we kind of read a little bit deeper into it. So we take a look at, you know, social media and reviews and blogs and message boards, things like that, where people's personalities really come across. We may have this person who's, you know, age 25 with a household income of 60K and a college degree, but our psychographic would tell us that, you know, they're unmarried, but they live with their boyfriend and they enjoy iced lattes and they buy a lot of their things online. And so that really lets us get a better feel of who's in the market.
Right, and how we want to market to them. And this brand is developed around those kinds of people, the mm-hmm. people that we want to market to. And so knowing those little details about them really helps us create, you know, that logo or that color scheme or what's really going to catch their eye when we're promoting to them in the market.
For sure. And as well as, you know, even further than that, the messaging that is involved in that brand, obviously you would speak to certain people a different way than others. And maybe even down to, like, the types of marketing materials we would use, you know. These people might not check their mail as often, but they'll check their email, you know, things like that.
So, speaking of how different people interact with different brands, can you talk about maybe the differences? Most of our clients typically are either student housing or kind of a young professionals audience. Could you discuss maybe how they are similar, how they're different, and what thought process goes into branding when you're trying to reach one of those specific audiences?
Well, when it comes to student housing specifically, you're marketing to kids who have kind of just gotten their freedom, who are on their own for the first time, who want to be independent, but also social. And I know coming to Catalyst fresh out of college, that's what I liked the most was I was speaking to someone who was my friends. Mm-hmm. It was an audience that I knew very well. And so when you market to people in student housing, you're marketing that lifestyle, you know, that, hey, you know, this is a place where you get to kind of be your own person.
Meet new people.
Right. Exactly. Like, you're building your community, and here's all the tools and resources we can give you to help you do that. And then as they get older, I think not only does that independence grow, but maybe they'll want to sort of kind of go off on your own. You kind of have that community built. And so a lot of older students or young professionals kind of want a little more privacy, something a little more quiet, possibly more upscale because they have more income coming in or they're not on their parents' budget.
Right.
And I think we can speak to that maybe with a little more classy.
Right, something that's a little bit not too serious because you're still a young adult, but something that just is a little bit more sophisticated.
Yeah.
Makes them feel a little bit more above that level, to the next level that they were before. And I think another way that we try to promote that differently, and with student housing, it's a lot of get-togethers and events where you can collaborate with other people. And with young adults and people going into the workforce, maybe it's really promoting the gym or the relaxing pool, kind of their off-hours relaxing time. That's kind of what we like to promote in different ways.
In talking about the ways we market to two separate audiences, I think one big trend we've seen in real estate marketing is the way we push our amenities. And for a while, I think it came down to just pushing the basic facts about what you'd get by living here, but we've seen it change much more towards a lifestyle, a more big picture, broad idea. So could you talk about how that's changed y'all's process and what y'all deliver to clients?
Yeah, I think, you know, in the past, a lot of times when you're looking for an apartment, people would just want to see the amenities. Okay, they have a gym, check. They have washer and dryer, check. They've got a clubhouse where I can, you know, socialize, check. But now it's kind of, not only do they want to see those amenities, but they want to know sort of what is that going to do for them. And we kind of can sell what is the lifestyle that those are going to create. So yes, we have a gym, but we're selling this healthier, better lifestyle. You know, maybe there's a yoga room attached or a running trail or a lap pool.
Or like classes that you can take.
Exactly. And, you know, maybe instead of a clubhouse, you know, we're selling the space plus look at all these events we host in it. Mm-hmm. And even within the apartment itself, people look for a lot of things, but they kind of want that sense of like, this is my home and this is a place where I'm going to live and it's going to be convenient and it's going to be comfortable. And we sell that almost more than the amenities themselves.
Yeah. And even going back to the brand, we market in that same lifestyle way. You know, this whole brand guide is for them to cater to a full lifestyle, not just square footage that you're going to live in. You know, this is A, B, and C, what you're going to get. This is a home with all of these different features, something that's comfortable, something that fits your type of lifestyle, your personality. And you get that kind of through the creative pieces that you receive, through the environment that we provide, and all of that. So we're trying to really, you know, sell a home, sell a community, and not just a place to live.
So I think in selling these homes and communities, when we take on a client, we hit a fork in the road. And that's either we're creating a brand new brand from the ground up, it's a brand new development, and no one's heard of it, no one knows about the company behind it, or the face of the company that will eventually be the apartment. And on the other side of the coin is the rebrand. It's something that exists, something that has already been there, has a presence in the market, people are at least vaguely aware of, if not intimately aware of. The way y'all handle that really shows y'all's prowess in branding and the way you can go back and forth between the two. So could you discuss the differences between those and how y'all handle that?
I think both are kind of a double-edged sword, honestly.
Yeah.
I think with branding, like you said, it's really nice to come in with a clean slate. You know, no previous name or identity. And like you said, we're building from the ground up because a lot of times it is a new business or a development. But it can be kind of a challenge to not really have anything to go off of. And so we're kind of left to do that market research, to brainstorm and kind of think for ourselves, okay, what are we...
Yeah, more or less kind of create.
That's right.
That lifestyle. There might have been an existing lifestyle with a rebrand, but this one, we have more ability to kind of create that for this location,
mm-hmm.
Which is a challenge and an excitement at the same time.
Yeah, and then when it comes to rebrands, it's kind of the flip side of that. And so for us, a rebrand could be anything from just a small design tweak to all the way to a full-scale new name, new identity, new messaging. A lot of the times rebrands come to us because of a change of management, but sometimes it can be due to kind of past obstacles, which that could be, you know, reputation issues or things like that. And so we kind of take all that into consideration. And even sometimes it could just be, hey, we want to start focusing on a new audience. And so Kendra and I sort of look at that like, okay, this is our chance to take a step back, to evaluate what they, you know, what they've done right, what they've done wrong, how we can help, and really kind of reposition them to where they should go.
Yeah. So what you said about repositioning and tackling obstacles, can you speak to maybe a project y'all have done where something was wrong? Maybe they had a bad reputation or the management that they previously had wasn't, you know, living up to par, things like that, and how y'all used your branding to tackle that issue?
We had a property in Milwaukee called 2040 Lofts, and we had had them for a while, but they kind of had some negative sentiment in the market. They were known as the International House because it was primarily international students. And they were also located in kind of this older medical building. And while I think they had really solid bones, the brand was kind of weighed down by all those perceptions in the market. And so when they came to us for a rebrand, we kind of looked at, well, what is it you want to be putting out there? What is it you want students to think of when they live here? And we kind of looked at, okay, well, what do college students want in general? And what we kind of landed on was they want to leave a legacy. They want to leave a mark. We kind of stuck to that. We liked that. And so it played really well with the fact that this was in the Marquette market. And so the name The Mark, M-A-R-Q, was something we landed on. And as we began to build the brand to kind of get away from sort of that older, staler feeling, we gravitated towards bright colors, teals, blues, greens, pops of yellow and orange. They had all new CapEx renovations done in the building, and that got to take those colors and that pattern, that feeling into account. And really, when you walk in there now, it feels like The Mark. It feels like sort of this brand we've created. And then even the messaging, I think, was, you know, that sort of inspirational, you know, hey, you're here. This is a place that you can live and grow and leave your mark even after you're gone.
On the other hand, when it comes to brand new developments and creating a brand from scratch, we pulled one of our case studies from our blog. And I think this is a great example of how we used what the market was telling us to create a brand that people would respond to. So can you tell us about the Knox?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Knox was a new development in Knoxville, Tennessee, and we really looked at the area and the town, and it was just full of pride, full of tradition, really, you know, proud of their school and everything that it represents. And so we thought it was key to represent that in this development. And so we landed with the name The Knox, Knoxville, and the whole brand was revolved around that, with the colors, the orange and the white, even their texture and patterns were that checkered that you would see used throughout school representation.
And then I think even the messaging was really geared towards sort of those values and traditions, that old Southern charm that's really, really rooted in that community. It was something we kept kind of forefront when we were creating everything. And not that the competitors don't have that, but we sort of wanted to take it a step further and really say, we know how important this is to you guys. It's important to us as well.
And I think how that resonated with the audience is proven in the numbers. We got a lot of leads off of the brand new branding exposure. Once we launched that brand, a lot of people responded. A lot of people were proud to be living there and involved there. So if you want to know all the numbers, you can go to our website and download this case study and get a sense of what we do here. But I think as a final note, typically our designers aren't in direct contact with clients, but if there was something you could explain about branding, one kind of succinct thought to hopefully explain why it's so important, what would it be?
For me, Lauren already touched on it at the beginning, but basically your brand is the cornerstone for the entire look and feel that your community portrays. And sticking to a solid brand is really going to boost you in the marketplace. It's going to make you recognizable. It's going to make you somewhere that people will enjoy calling home. So the brand is just such an important part of the whole picture of your property.
And I think at the end of the day, it's important to remember that you can't always control what people are going to perceive about your brand. People have their own opinions and biases and backgrounds that they're going to bring into anything you do. But the important thing to remember is, with consistency, a solid foundation, and like Kendra said, just keeping that cornerstone, like no matter what you do, having your brand run throughout, you can kind of make changes based on what those people think, and you can kind of, with time, adjust and really end up being successful.
Well, thank y'all for coming on the podcast. It's great to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alex.
That was Lauren Goodman and Kendra Spa, the creative team here at Catalyst, explaining to you what branding is and how it really does make a difference in building a business. Thank y'all for listening to Listen, the Catalyst Marketing Podcast. If you want to know more about the case studies we mentioned, go to thelyst.com, that's thelyst.com, to read up on all of our blogs and specifically those case studies on branding and rebranding that we mentioned. And that's it for this episode. We'll have more podcasts out to you soon. Bye, y'all.